Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the sidebar, the Learn the System option. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the top of Daf Ayin Beis Omid Aleph, we immediately encounter a Brisa, and you can see that is in a frame, as in our marking system, all Tanaic literature is placed in a frame to set it off from the rest of the Gemara. The Nosei heading that we see on the outside margin, the topic heading, we have written in Brisa Shemarchiva Al Divrei HaMishnah. We're going to see a Brisa that elaborates on information that we already learned in the Mishnah. The point of this brisa will be to contrast tzaddikim versus rishoyim given the same circumstances. The Gemara begins, Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer. Regarding the nature of the penalty of ben sora more, the Rabbi Yossi Aglili opens up with the question, the famous question, is it possible that just because this young boy stole money and bought meat and wine, he is to be sentenced to the death penalty? Because he ate tartemar is an amount, a quantity of meat, and drank this also liquid quantity, chatsi lug of italki wine. Omro Torah yetze lebeis din lisokel. Is it possible that the Torah would say that he should go to be executed by stoning? And in fact, that is the case. So why is that? Elohigia Torah l'soiv daito shel ben sora more. The Torah jumps ahead to the final stages of this kind of behavior. Shesof megamer nechos nichse oviv. He will come to a point where he'll steal and not leave any funds left for his father, and continue his desire for the meat and wine, umevakesh limudo, and seek out that which he is accustomed to, the meat and the wine, the eno motze, and not find the funds at home with which to buy, viotze the precious rachim, and he'll go out to crossroads where people pass by, umelastem esabrios, and rob from the passersby. Omro Torah, therefore the Torah says, Yomuz Zakai Va'al Yomuz Chayov. Let him rather be executed now before he commits the inevitable murders that such a person will commit in order to sustain his habit. And better for him to die now without that particular, without the sin of having killed others. Shemi Sosan Shel Rishoyim, the death of Rishoyim, Hano Lohem Vano Lo'olam, is a source of benefit to them in that once they die, they don't continue sinning, and it's also of benefit to the world that the world is at peace from them. Ula Tzadikim, however, death to Tzadikim is Ra Lohem, is bad for them because with death they can no longer continue doing mitzvahs. Vera Lo'olam, and as we explained on the Mishnah, it's a negative for the world in that the Tzadikim serve as a defense for the world, and with them gone, so there is no more defense. There's no hagona for the world. Shina v'yayin l'rishoyim, sleep and wine for the evil. Hano lahem v'hano l'olam. It's beneficial for them in that it keeps them quiet and they can't bother people, and also they won't be sinning when they're sleeping, and it's beneficial to the world in that the rishoyim are not going to be bothering them while they're sleeping. And however, litzadikim, the wine and the drinking, the sleep and wine, it, for tzadikim ra lohem v'ra lo'olam, because while they are intoxicated or while they're sleeping, they're not able to perform mitzvahs, and they also cannot chastise the public, which is a benefit that the public receives from tzadikim. Sheket l'rishoyim, ra lohem v'ra lo'olam. Quiet, as far as the evil is concerned, is not good for them. It gives them time to to sin and to carry on their wicked way of life without interruption, and it's negative for the world in that while it's quiet for the Rishoyim, they have a chance to scheme against others. Ulatzadikim, however, quiet for tzadikim, hanolahem v'hanololim, is beneficial to them and to the world. Pizur lo Rishoyim, when Rishoyim are scattered, they are then it's hanolahem v'hanololim, is beneficial to them and also to the world. It's beneficial to them so that while they're scattered, they can't scheme with one another and assist one another in their sinning. So that's to their ultimate benefit. And also, it's hanol li'olam in that there's less chance of massive evil taking place. However, pizur for tzaddikim is ra lohem v'ra le'olam. When tzaddikim are dispersed and scattered, so there's less joint efforts in Torah learning and spreading of Torah, and all that comes from issue of togetherness. Habo b'machteres nidoin al shem sofo. The opening of this Mishnah was actually explained in the Brisa we just saw before, that this idea that someone is judged on that which will eventually happen, just like we saw by the Ben Sora More, that he's penalized now in anticipation of what he will do. So too, a person who is digging in as a thief to rob a homeowner, he too can be executed now, because we know that if he is left to his eventual plan to rob the homeowner, he may come to murder the homeowner. So we stop him now. The thief is intruding through digging in under the wall to get into the house. And while he is intruding, he also breaks a vessel owned by the homeowner. If the nature of this intruder is such that he is not really fit to be killed by the homeowner, the classic example of that would be a father who is intruding onto his son's property. The whole theory behind the intruder is that when one intrudes to steal, the thief knows that the homeowner is going to resist, because a person doesn't stand by and watch his funds get taken, and the homeowner will be prepared to kill the intruder. That being known, the intruder says, before he kills me, I'm going to kill him. However, if you have a father that's intruding and the son attempts to resist, there is practically no fear that the father, the thief, would kill the homeowner, the son. That's what's meant by this expression, im yesh loy domim, if the intruder has life to him. Domim being the plural of word dam, dam being the word that means nefesh, means life. So that if you have a situation where the intruder has life, where there is no suspicion that he will be killed by the homeowner, because a son knows that a father who is intruding would not put up a fight against his son who's trying to protect his holdings. Therefore, in such a case, if the intruder, in our example, happened to be the father, broke a vessel, since he himself was not subject to being killed, therefore he does have to pay for the broken vessel. However, the Mishnah goes on, im ein lo idomim, if it's a type of intruder that is really risking his life because the homeowner homeowner has a right to kill him, hence he's viewed as someone, this intruder is viewed as someone who, while he's intruding, is as if he's already subject to a death penalty, so to speak, at the hands of the homeowner. And as a result of that, since he's subjected already to the greater penalty of death, he's not obligated for the lighter penalty of paying for those things that he breaks while breaking in. The topic heading that we've assigned to this Gemara with the structural note, you'll see on the side, the Nosei Mivneh. We've written in, Taimo Depotur Habob Machteres Milashalem, the reason for the intruder being exempt from paying for the breaking of items that he commits while he's breaking in. A second discussion point will be Habob Machteres Fi Ein Loi Domim, someone who is breaking in, and he's the type of person that has no life, which means, as we said before, the homeowner has a right to kill him. Venotal Kalim Vehain Bain, and the intruder took vessels. Instead of breaking them, he simply took the vessels for himself, and they are extant. The issue is going to be, does he have to return those vessels, or do we say that he acquired it with his life, so to speak? The fact that he put his life on the line enables him to acquire those vessels. We're going to notice in the Gemara, when we get to it a few lines from now, triangle forms that will be positioned in two different positions, with the point facing up. That will be indicative of the opinion that says he has to return those items. If you see a triangle flipped over, that will be in the direction indicating that he is exempt, and that he is viewed as if he acquired those vessels, and therefore, even if they are extant, they don't have to be returned. Omar Rovo, my taimo de machteres. Why does the Torah say that one is allowed to kill the intruder? Answer, chazaka. It is a known fact of human behavior. Ein odom maimid atzmo almamono. A person does not withhold himself when it comes to his possessions. When he sees his mamon, his money, or his possessions being taken, a person acts in order to prevent that. Vahai, the thief, Meymar Omar, figures, he says to himself, I azilna, if I go in there, koi lapoi, the homeowner will certainly stand up against me. Velo shavikli, and he won't let me take what I want to steal. Vi koi lapoi, and if he does stand up against me, katil nolei, I will kill him. So, in a situation that someone is breaking in, the Torah knows that an intruder is prepared to kill. Vatura omra, and the Torah also says, im ba lahargacha, if someone comes to kill you, hashkem lahargo, kill him first. Therefore, the intruder, who is known to be entering with intent to kill, is subject to be killed by the homeowner, who would be following this dictum of Habo Lahorgecha Hashkem Lahorgo. As a result of that, we understand the halacha that a Bov Machteres is subject to being killed. Omar Rav, we've circled Rav's name because he is a central opinion as far as the upcoming Gemara. Habo Machteres Venot Al Kelim, someone who intrudes and took vessels, Viyatza, and exited and left with the vessels, and now in his possession. Potter, he does not have to return those vessels. My taimo, why does he not have to return them? Answer, bedomim koninu. He acquired it with his lifeblood. In other words, he risked his life, and as a result of that, he acquires them. Omar Rava, notice the triangle pointing up. We will see that this is an opinion saying that if the vessels are extant, he has to return them. Rava says, Mistabra milse de Rav, it's most likely that Rav's opinion is b'sheshiber, that he is exempt in the case that he broke the vessels, whether he broke them while he's breaking in or he broke them later on. This point of even breaking them later on is a point that one will find in the Tosfos commentary at the top of the page. And the reason for this exemption is because the vessels are simply not around in the event that they broke. Avol, notal loy. However, if he took them and they are still around, then there is no exemption and he has to return them. Voelokim, this is an expression, a type of oath, a swearing. The Gemara responds to what Rava said. Omar Rav, afilu notal. Rav said his point of exemption, even where they're around. Daha yesh lo damim v'nansu. We know that in a case where an intruder has life to him, it's a situation where if he intrudes, we explained this before, the homeowner knows that this kind of intruder is not threatening the homeowner's life. So given a case like that where it's yesh lo damim v'nansu, and the vessels that the intruder took became a total loss through ones, we know chayov, that he is obligated. He's obligated to compensate. Alma, we see from this point of law that he's obligated to compensate. Birshusei kaimi, they are considered in his possession, in the possession of the ganav. In other words, the ganav is said to have acquired them. Birshusei kaimi, and we're going to add now a very important point, and he's not viewed as a simple shomer, a simple guard, a watchman over those vessels, because we know in standard dine shomrim, in standard, when you're dealing with a standard watchman, when an ones happens, he is exempt from paying. Here, we know that the intruder is not treated as a standard shomer, but rather he has to compensate even in the event of ones. And as a result of that, we say that he acquires the vessels, and in a fuller capacity than a shomer. Hocha nami, so too in the case of ein lo damim, where he is the type of intruder that could have been killed, birshusei kaimi, they are said to be his. And as a result of that, this direction in the Gemara is saying he would not have to return them even if they are around, even if they're extant. Glancing at the Rashi, in the first of five wide lines, you'll notice where there is we wrote in a star. Hocha nami, we're reading from the Rashi, le'inyin ein lo damim, in the case that the intruder is said to be risking his life, afapi de'isnu, even though the vessels are around, amrinon, we say, lav pikodo ninhu, they're not considered an entrusted article to him, elabrushuso, ubachriuso kaimi, they're in his possession, and he is obligated toward them. V'chi govu le beidino mine, and if one were to say that the court can intervene and collect the vessels from him to restore them to the homeowner, then we will run into another legal problem. Yesh kan tashlumen im chiyuv misa. We have a situation where payment is present together with the possible death. And we know that you can't have payment with death penalty. When we speak about death penalty, we're referring to the fact that while he was intruding, we said in an ein lo damim situation, his life was in jeopardy. And where we have a case where we have a situation of payment plus death penalty, there we don't apply both, and there's no payment. Ki'ilu goyven mishar nechosim. It would be as if we were to collect from him, it would be a case. It would be as if we're collecting from his possessions at the same time that he was subject to this type of death penalty. Therefore, we are in a position in the Gemara, contrary to what Rava said, where even if they are extant, he does not have to restore them. The Gemara, though, flips around and goes like Rava, Velohi, and what was just said is not to be advanced. Ki ukmina rachmana birshusei. When we say that the Torah establishes the vessels in his possession, that is limited. It doesn't mean in his possession with regard to full-fledged ownership of it. Rather, le'inyan owns him. In his possession with regard to a high level of obligation, of achrayas, meaning that even if an onus happens, even if it's lost to him through uncontrollable circumstances, he has to compensate. Avala inyan mikna, but as far as actual acquisition is concerned, birshusei demarayu kaimi midi dehave ashoel. The vessels are still considered in the position, in the possession of the original owner, similar to the way we view a show ale situation. What's a show ale situation? That's a person who borrows vessels from an owner. How do we categorize him? We say that one who borrows vessels is obligated to restore the vessel, even in the event that the vessel is lost through ones. He, the shoel, the borrower, still has to offer compensation, so that he has a high level of obligation with regard to the vessel. But no one would think that the shoel actually owns the vessel. Similarly, with our intruder, who is an ein lo domim situation, where he will have to restore the vessel, just like Rava said. Tanan, Baal b'machteres. Notice we open this with a triangle pointing up. That means what we're expecting to see is something along the lines of Rava's claim that the vessel, if it's extant, is to be returned. The source says, Baal b'machteres v'shiber sechavis. Our Mishnah said that one who is entering the intruding into someone's premises and breaks a vessel, yesh lo domim chayov, if he is someone that has life to him. In other words, the homeowner had no right to kill this intruder because this intruder posed no life-threatening aspects. Therefore, if the intruder, being that he was not subject to a death penalty, quote unquote, if he breaks something, he is obligated to pay for it. Ein lo domim. However, if he is the kind of intruder that the homeowner had a right to kill, and the intruder breaks the vessel, putter, he is exempt. Now, the Gemara infers that Taimo de Shiber, why is there exemptions? Because the vessel was broken. It's no longer around. Dechi ein lo domim potter. And that's why, that in the case that he was subject to this quote-unquote death penalty, therefore he's exempt, because it was broken. Ha notal. However, if he simply took it, and it's extant, then lo, he would not be exempt. Like we saw in the Aleph opinion. This was what was noted above under Rava's name. Notice with our markings, we also dashed underlined key words. The word shiber, broken, is contrasted with notal, where it's not broken. We're also making use of letter references to make it easier to find where the original opinion was stated. The Gemara now rejects this method of learning the Mishnah, and says, notice the triangle flips over, hu hadin, the exemption will be true as well, dafilu notal, even if the vessels were taken by the intruder, and they remain extant. Once again, let's read this again, hu hadin, dafilu notal, nami. Nami, there is also exemption, like we saw above in the Bay's opinion. V'ha dekatani shavar esachavis, and that which the Mishnah teaches the example of breaking the vessel, it has a novel a chidush value, a novelty value with regard to the resha. Komash malon dechi yesh lo domim. It's the Mishnah is telling me that when the intruder was not subject to being killed, that we say afagav the shiber, even though it's not around anymore, even though it's broken, nami chayav, the intruder is obligated to compensate. The Gemara asks, is that what the Mishnah is telling me? Pshita, maziku. That seems to be obvious. The Gemara answers. Notice with the triangles, you're able to navigate in the flow of the Gemara. The Gemara answers, defending position of the Bay's position. That even if the breaking was done without intention to break it, we would say that if he was yesh lo domim, he is obligated to compensate. The Gemara asks, my komash malon, what's the point of that? That's also something we already know. You're telling me, oda muad li olam, that a person is considered muad, he is Mu'ad is a term referring to something that does damage. That a person is a damager, a person has a status as a damager, that's already known. Tanina, we know that from another source. Adam Mu'ad Le'olam. A person is said to be a damager, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'oines, bein b'rasan, whether it be b'shogeg or mezid, whether it's accidental or premeditated, whether it's ones through uncontrolled circumstances or whether willing. As a result of that, a person always has to compensate when he breaks something. So I don't need the aforementioned, I don't need the source mentioned, with, in other words, I don't need our Mishnah to communicate that particular idea. Kashya. So this remains a point of difficulty. However, Rashi points out that does not necessarily dismiss the position that was represented by the Bay's position, which stated that, unlike Rava, that if it's an Ein Lo Domim intruder, and he took the vessel, he does not have to return it, even though it's around. Mosiv Rav Beva Bar Abaye. Notice the triangle is with the point down, so we know that we're going to be trying to defend the Bay's position. Mosiv Rav Beva Bar Abaye, he raises a question, or he brings a source in to defend the position that even if the vessel is around, if it's a person that was subject to a death penalty, he does not have to restore it. The case involves a shaila, a question of chilul Shabbos and theft. We can say, before we do the case inside, that if the act of theft precedes the violation of Shabbos, Shabbos being a type of offense that carries with it a death penalty, so if the act of theft precedes the violation of Shabbos, we will say that there is an obligation to pay. However, if the violation of Shabbos happens concurrently with the act of theft, that is a case, as we saw before, of financial obligation and death penalty happening at the same time. And in such a case, the halacha says there is no financial restitution that is to be made because the person was guilty of the more severe death penalty at the same time. We will see from this case, therefore, that a vessel that is taken, that is stolen under Shabbos violation circumstances, and the vessel is still around, there is no obligation to restore it. That would support the Bay's approach, namely that the claim that even if the vessel is around, in a case of Yesh Lo Dom, in the case of Ein Lo Domim, he is not obligated to restore. So now we read it inside. Hagoinev kis b'Shabbos, one who steals a pouch of money on Shabbos, chayov, he is obligated to restore the money. Shaharei nischayev b'ginevo kodem shiovo lidei isur Shabbos, because his act of theft preceded the violation of Shabbos. In other words, so it's to illustrate this, he entered someone's house and picked up a pouch of money. The act of picking up is the act of theft that thereby acquires it for him. And then when he walks out of the house, he goes from the private domain into the street, the public domain. That is the violation of Shabbos. But the financial act, or the matter, that the act that obligates him to pay, preceded the theft, that is. That preceded the Shabbos violation. However, Hoya Megarer Viyotze, if he is dragging out the pouch, that's a case which represents there was no act of theft done until he was Yotze, until he leaves the premises. At the point he leaves the premises, he goes from the private domain into the street, the public domain. At that point, there is also, not only is there a violation of Shabbos, but that's the point at which the act of theft takes place. Well, the source says he is exempt from restoring the pouch. Sharei isur geneva v'isur skila boin keechad. Because in such a case, the violation of the theft, the act of theft, and the Shabbos violation, which is penalized by stoning, are coming simultaneously. So what do we see? That even though it is around, it nevertheless does not have to be repaid. Notice the triangle, though, repositions itself, point upwards, v'hilchasa. The conclusion of the source we just read concerning Shabbos is, in fact, the money is not around, and that's why there is exemption. Dishadinu benara, he cast them into the river. They're not around, and that's why the source speaks about exemption from paying. However, if they were still around, even though he subjected himself to the death penalty, since the very item that was stolen is still around, he would have to restore it. Rava ignavu le dichri b'machtarta. Rava had stolen from him. In other words, someone stole from Rava. Dichri are rams, animals. Rams b'machtarta. Someone dug into his domain and stole it. Ahadrinu nihale. And the thieves, nevertheless, even though they risked their lives in getting these animals, the thieves nevertheless restored them to Rava. Velo kablinu. But Rava, on the other hand, did not accept them. Omar, Rava explained, Hoyol v'nofak mipume derav, since it left the lips of Rav. Namely, Rav said that even if it is be'ein, even if the item is still around, there is exemption from restoring it, being that they were acquired by the thief under circumstances that he was risking his life. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form, the diamond. It appears here and a few lines later. This draws our attention to the topic heading and structural note we have in the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh. We have the diamonds, Shnei Makuros, two sources, two Tanaic sources, Shinyurois Soisrois. They appear to be contradictory, Be'inyan Bo B'machteres, concerning the thief who's breaking in, v'safek lo lebalabayas, and it is a matter of doubt to the balabayas, focusing on a case where the homeowner is in doubt, im bo be'iske domim, if the intruder is coming with the intent to kill. Ha'im misafek mutar lahargo, is it so? Is it that it might be allowed to kill the intruder even in a state of doubt? So if focusing on the issue of doubt, what is the halacha? Is it mutar to kill the intruder or not? This will appear to be the point of contradiction between these two sources. When we get to the bottom of the page, the Gemara will eventually say lo kashya, and at the top of the next Amud will explain, resolve the seeming contradiction. So as we turn to the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, we're calling this source 1 with a little diamond and a number 1 inside. The Pasuk says, Ein loy domim im zorcha hashemesh olav. Before we go further in the Gemara, it might be of benefit for us to glance at the side where we have written in the psukim that the Gemara will be referring to. Notice we have Shmos, Perichov Beis, Pasuk Aleph, and following that will be Pasuk Beis. The Pasuk says, Im b'machteres imotze haganav, v'huka v'omeis, ein loy domim. Im zorcha, Pasuk Beis says, Im zorcha hashemesh olav, domim loy, shalem yishalem. Im ein loy, v'nimkar b'genevosoy. So we notice at the end of Pasuk Aleph the expression Ein Loi Domim, and the beginning of Pasuk Bey says Im Zorcho Hashemesh. So the Gemara presents the first Tanaic source saying Ein Lo Domim, Im Zorcho Hashemesh Olav. The Gemara will explain that. V'chi Hashemesh Olav Bilvad Zorcho. Are we to take this Pasuk literally referring to the sun shining on him, meaning the sun shines only on one person? Is that so? Ella. But rather, not to understand the Pasuk literally with regard to sunshine, but rather understanding that the sunshine creates clarity. Im borur l'cho hadovar kishemesh, if it is as clear to you as the sun is shining, she'ein loy sholom imoch, that the person who's intruding is a definite killer, a definite potential killer. He has no peace with you. And that's what that's the case the Pasuk is referring to. Hargeu, then, you may kill him. V'im lov, if there is a matter of doubt, in other words, it's not as if the sun is shining, then al targeu, then don't kill him. V'tanya idach. Now another source says, im zorcha hashemesh alav, domim loi. V'chi hashemesh alav bilvad zorcha, is the sun shining only on him? Ela, im boro l'cho kishemesh, if it's clear to you as the sun, sheyesh loi sholom imoch, that he is coming with non-death intentions, al targeu, then you may not kill him. That means, then, domim lo means he has life. And being that he has life, you cannot kill him. The im lav, if you're in a matter of doubt, in other words, you're not sure, then hargay, then you are allowed to kill him. So focusing on the cases of im lav, what does the first source say? And notice we've dashed, underlined the expression the im lav. That represents the state of doubt. The first source says al targeu. The second source says hargeu. Kashio stamo astama. These two stam sources, stam means unnamed sources, are in contradiction with one another. Lo kashio. Kan be'av al ha-ben, kan be'ben al ha-av. The first source, which indicated that if you're in doubt, you're not allowed to kill him, that's talking about a case where the intruder is a father. Being that the intruder is a father, if the son, the homeowner, resists this intruder, namely his father, the father will not kill his son. A father is said to have ultimate mercy on the life of his son. However, the second source, that's why we have a number two above the word kan, and the second one, that's where the source said that if you're in a state of doubt, you're allowed to kill. That is when the intruder is the son, kan beben al ha'av. An intruder who is a son, and he sees his father trying to stop the theft, the son will kill a father. The level of mercy that a son has to his father is less than the level of mercy, as in the previous source, that a father intruding would have to his son who resists. Omar Rav, kol de'osi aloi v'machtarto katil no le. Anyone who would come into my house in a stealthful fashion, I would kill him. Labar me Rav Chanino bar Shilo. With the exception of Rav Chanino, if he were intruding into my house, I would not kill him. My taimo, why is he different? I lemo mishum de tzadiku. If it's because Rav Chanino is a tzaddik, well, given these circumstances, if he were breaking in to steal, how could you term him as a tzaddik, as a righteous man? Ha ka'osi b'machtarto. Here he is, coming and intruding in this, of course, theoretical case. Ela, rather, the explanation for why Rav would not kill him, Mishum de Kim Li Begavei, de Merachem Olai, because I know about him that he would have mercy on me, Kerachem Ov Al HaBen, like a father would have mercy on a son, and therefore, as a homeowner, if I were to resist his theft attempts, he would not kill me in order to gain his desired theft. The topic heading that we've assigned to this Gemara is found on the outside margin, the Nosei, Habo b'machteres b'Shabbos, someone who is breaking in on Shabbos. Tonu Rabbanan, Domim Loi. The Pasuk says that Domim Lo meaning he has life. This is a case where a father is breaking in, and we said before that when a father breaks in, it can be assumed that a father would not kill his son, the homeowner, in order to gain his theft. Hence, domim lo is a term meaning the thief has life, and it's usur to kill him. Bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos, which would mean it's usur for the son to kill his father, the intruder. The other case, ein lo domim, where the intruder is said to have no life, meaning the intruder would kill the homeowner, and hence the homeowner has a right to kill, to preempt that and kill the intruder. Therefore, the intruder is said to be viewed as a dead man in the sense that he is subject to being killed. Bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos. In simpler terms, it's mutter to kill the intruder even on Shabbos. So we have a resh on a seifa, and we want to know what's the chiddush of each section. Bishlamo ein lo domim. The second part of this source that describes an intruder that is allowed to be killed, that I understand the source that says, Ein lo domim bein b'chol bein b'shabbos. Itzdrich, I have to be told that. Sakodaita Chamina, without having been told that it's mutter to kill him even on Shabbos, I might have thought, Midi Dahave Aruge Beisdin. I would have thought that this whole area of halacha, this area of law, is viewed as we deal with court executions. Debashabbos lo katlinon. The court does not carry out court executions on Shabbos. Therefore, I would have thought that this follows the same legal framework, and the homeowner would not be allowed to execute the intruder on Shabbos. Komashmola de katlinon. The chiddush, the novel value of this source is to inform me that it is mutter to kill the intruder even on Shabbos, and that it does not conform to court execution standards. Elo damim lo, bein b'chol, bein b'Shabbos. The resha of the source, the first part of the source that said that there are circumstances where the intruder does have life to him. In other words, that it's not allowed to kill him. And the example being a father who's intruding on his son. And the source tells us it's usur to kill him, whether it be on a weekday or on Shabbos. Well, is it necessary? And we've dashed underlined bein b'Shabbos. Is it really necessary to tell me that it's usur to kill him on Shabbos? Hashda b'chol lo katlinon le. Now you're telling me that even on a weekday, when the courts would execute, but in this case, when the intruder is a father, it's not mutter for the son to kill him. B'Shabbos mibay. Is it necessary to tell me that on Shabbos it's usur to kill him? It seems very obvious. So therefore, what's the point of telling me domim lo, that he has life, that he is viewed as a living person, and osur to kill him, and mention that it's osur on Shabbos? Amar Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes informs us of what the chiddush is. Lo nitzrucha elo lefakeach olav es hagal. This informs me of the case where the intruder, while he's breaking in, a pile of rubble fell upon him. And it's telling me as follows. The question here is it mutter to engage in Shabbos violation to save the intruder? So we're telling you here that if the intruder is a father who's breaking in, and a pile of rubble falls upon him on Shabbos, it is mutter for the people to violate Shabbos in order to save his life. And why is that? Because he was viewed as a living person in the legal sense, that he wasn't subject to being killed in the first place. However, this can be contrasted to the case of someone who, while intruding, was subject to being killed. So let us say, while he is intruding, a pile of rubble fell upon him, and it's taking place on Shabbos. So this source is telling me it is not mutter to violate Shabbos in order to save him, because he is viewed as a dead man to begin with. And there is no right to engage in Shabbos violations to save a dead man. Tonu Rabbonon. We are now introduced to another Tanaic source. Before we go further, let's glance at the topic heading that we have assigned to this. Harigosoi al habo b'machteres. The murder or the killing of an intruder, number one, mutar al yedei kol adam. Not only is the homeowner allowed to kill the intruder, but anyone else is allowed as well. And point number two is ubechol emtsoim, through any means. Tanu Rabbanan, the source says v'huka, a quote from the pasuk. It doesn't say here, for example, vihikohu, that he shall kill him, meaning which would have indicated that the homeowner is the one that's allowed to kill him, but rather it says vihukoh, and he is smitten by whom? Well, b'chol adam. Vomes, the pasuk also uses that word, which tells me b'chol misa shata yochol hamisa, through any means that is necessary to stop him. So the Gemara explains, bishlama vihukoh b'chol adam. The chidush, the novelty value of telling me this, that fuhuka, he can be killed by anybody. Itzterich, I need to be told that. It's not the type of thing I might have thought of on my own. Sakodaita chamina, without being informed of this, I might have thought, bala bayis hu de kimle de ein oda mamid atzmo al mamono, that only with regard to the homeowner is this halacha stated, whereby he and he alone would be allowed to kill him, because it is known that the homeowner is himself the one that is threatened with being killed, because a person doesn't stop and stand by while his money is taken. So given an intruder scenario, whose life is being threatened? Of course, without having been taught this source, the only one whose life is being threatened is really the homeowner. Aval acher lo, but some bystander, his life isn't being threatened. It's not his money that's being taken in the first place. Kamash Malon, the source tells me what by saying Vuka and it tells me Bechol Adam, this tells me the Roidev Hu. This intruder has a din of a pursuer. He is someone who's pursuing someone else, namely the homeowner, to kill him. As a result of his status of being a pursuer, a Roidev, the Afilu Achir Nami, and therefore it's mutter for anyone to intervene and save the victim from being killed. Ella, I don't, however, understand what is the chiddush of the vomes section of this source, which told me bechol miso sha'ata yochol lahamiso. Lomali, what is the purpose of quoting a pasuk to tell me that information? Meirotseach nafka, I could have learned that from the way we deal with murderers in general. When it comes to court executions, the halacha will tell us in the next few lines that if you cannot kill him through the court-ordained method, or the primary method, you can kill him with any method that it takes. By the way, before we go too much further in this piece of Gemara, it should have been noted at the outset that this is part of a long question. The question beginning with the Elo Vomes, that at the end of the line, you notice the Vomes in quotation marks. At this point is really the beginning of a long question. What do I need to be told this information based on a special posuk, when I could have learned this point of law from a comparison to the way we deal with murderers in general? So let's continue now in the Gemara. We're saying now, Meirotseach Nafka, the Sanya, the following Tanaic source teaches me how we deal with a murderer. The pasuk says, Mois Yumos Hamake Roitseachu. Ein Li Elo B'miso Hamura Boi. If I had this pasuk in simple terms, I would have thought that the only way to deal with a murderer is through executing him through the ordained method of execution, which happens to be Saif. The execution by sword. From where do you know that if for some reason I cannot execute him through the prescribed method, that you are entitled to kill him through any method that is effective? Talmud Lomar, Mois Yumos Mikomakom, the double expression which was seen at the beginning of this pasuk, tells me through any method. So here we have it from the pasuk dealing with Rotzeach, says Mos Yumos. What do I need in the case of the intruder to have a special pasuk of Vomes to tell me the same thing? The Gemara answers, Shiny Hossam, the case of murder is different. The Omar Kra, there's a special pasuk in the case of the murderer that says Mos Yumos. So being that it has a special pasuk, I don't know, I wouldn't necessarily know the case of the break-in. Therefore, I need Vomes to tell me the case of Bo B'machteres, that there too it's possible to kill him through any available method. The Gemara asks, well, once again, but still, the Nigmar Mine, why not I just learn from Rotzeach? Let Rotzeach be a precedent setter for this point of law, that if necessary to, if need be, then any means of executing him can be employed. The Gemara says, I'll tell you why I don't learn from the case of Rotzeach. Mishum dehavi Rotzeach v'goyel hadam shnei ksuvim haboyim ke'achod. Because the case of a murderer, the Rotzeach, and the case of goel hadam, the nearest relative of a murdered victim, has a right to kill the murderer. He is known as the goel hadam, the avenger. The halacha in the case of the avenger states that he is allowed to get rid of or eliminate the fellow who murdered his relative through any means. So we have two sections of the Torah that come to the same conclusion, and there's a rule in the oral law that says shnei ksuvim haboyim keachot, two verses or two sections of the Torah that teach me the same point of law, let's read in the, let's continue in the Gemara. It says v'chol shnei k'suvim b'ayim k'echad, when you have these two situations teaching me the same thing, ein melamden, they cannot serve as a precedent for other areas of halacha. Hence, the other area of halacha in our case being the way to eliminate an intruder, I cannot learn from rotzeach. Therefore, I have a special pasuk that teaches me the din in the case of the Bava Machteris as well. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form as far as this sugya is concerned. A structural note on the side, the Mivneh, features the triangle, and it says, Shnei Makoros, the triangles highlight two sources, She Dorshim Machteris, that deal with the word Machteris, and in order to teach us some new halachas. So the first source says, Tanu Rabbanan, Machteris. Namely, Ela Machteris. I would know only the case of digging in order to gain access to someone's property. How about Gago Chatseru V'Karpifo Minayin? How about going up to his roof, or going into his courtyard, or Karpifo, other enclosed area? How do I know that that too is included? Tamud Lomar, Himotzei Haganov, Mikomakom. The thief is found under all circumstances, not only the case of digging in. Im kein ma tamlo machteris. So why does the Torah feature the case of digging in? Answer: Mepnei roiv ganovim mitzuyim b'machteris. Because most cases of break-ins are through digging in. The Torah therefore teaches us the halacha with regard to the normal case. Tanya idach, another source: Machteris ein li ela machteris. I would know only the case of one who breaks in through digging in. Gago chaser v'karpifo minayin. What about entering these other locations? For example, entering a chotzer through an open door. Tamud lomar himotzei haganav. Mikomakom, wherever a thief is found. Im keimah tamud lomar machteres. So why does the Torah feature the case of breaking in when in fact the halachas of theft apply to all cases of entering and taking the property of others? Answer: there's a unique teaching here in the case of the one who breaks in through digging. Machtarto zuhi hasra'oso. The fact that he is scheming and planning and exerting efforts to break in, there is no need for further warning before he could be executed. We say that his mere digging in serves as his own self-imposed warning. This is contrasted with the case of someone who enters into another area through an open door. In such a case, it's not so clear to us that he is really coming with intents to kill the homeowner. Therefore, in a case where he is digging in, we know that since he's exerting such efforts to get in, he's very much, his mind is very much, we'll say, dead set on getting those items, even to the extent that he would kill the homeowner. Because, and we see this by the fact that he's exerting such extensive efforts to get in. However, if you have a person that walks through an open door, as is illustrated in the other cases, the Gago Chatzer V'Karpifoi, where he has ease of access, it's certainly not clear to us that he has intentions to go all the way, even to the extent of murdering the homeowner. He figured simply that I could have easy cash over here, just easy access, without having to put oneself out to get the money. Therefore, it's not so clear that he's coming with murderous intentions. Therefore, in order for the homeowner to defend himself and threaten the intruder in those cases, he would have to warn the intruder first to inform him that if he doesn't stop right now, that the homeowner will kill him. And therefore, without that warning, it would be usher under those circumstances where there was ease of access, it would be usher for the homeowner to automatically kill the intruder. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading, Rav Huna. Rav Huna will be featured, and we'll circle his name. Roideif Ein Tzorach Hasra. A Roideif, a pursuer, one who is pursuing someone else with intent to kill. In order to stop him, there is no need to warn him beforehand. We will see as we go on in the Gemara another geometric form, a house form, assuming two different directions, as the Gemara goes on, with the point facing up, that will be a support to Rav Huna's teaching, and with the point facing down will be a question. Omar Rav Huna, Koton Haroidef, Nitan Latsilo Benafshoi. A miner who is pursuing someone with the intent of killing him, it is mutter to execute the koton, to kill the koton. Kosovar roidef eino tzora chasro. This Rav Huna is of the opinion that a roidef does not need to be warned. Lo shno godol velo shno koton. Making no difference whether the pursuer is an adult or the pursuer is a child. It can be noted that a koton is someone who is considered a lav bar kibule hasrohu. He's a minor, he wouldn't even understand the warning. And Rav Huna nevertheless says that it is mutter to kill that minor who is engaged in pursuing someone else. Rashi, in the wide lines underneath the Gemara, a few lines under the Gemara, says, Kosovar, Rav Huna, Rashi says, Rav Huna is of the opinion, Roidev ain't Sora Hasro, the Inyan Lahatsilo Benavshoi. With regard to the ability to stop him by killing him, he does not need to have a prior warning. The Lonitno Hasro, the Inyan Bezda, the whole role of giving warnings is when it comes to court procedure. Delo Motzi Lamiktale Imhorag Belo Hasro. Bezdin cannot act to execute a murderer if the murderer did not receive a hasra. So receipt of hasra is strictly a court consideration. However, since we're not dealing with courts right now, we're dealing with a rodef, a pursuer outside, there is no need for hasra. We can say this in more simple terms. In order for an outsider to execute a pursuer, there's no need for hasra. In order for the court to execute somebody, there is need for hasra beforehand. The Gemara continues with a question. Eisvei Rav Chisda Rav Huna. The following source deals with a woman in the midst of a dangerous pregnancy. Yotza Roshoi, if a newborn fetus, if his head exits, it's not fully born yet, but its head emerged from the mother, and the mother is in a precarious position. In other words, her life is being threatened. Ein noigin boy. One is not allowed to kill the newborn who's in the process of being born in order to save the mother. L'fishein doicha nefesh mipnei nefesh. Because we don't push aside one life in order to save another. You might ask, well, why roidef who? The child is in effect a roidef. He is in effect pursuing his mother's life, and yet we see that we cannot kill him. So one is led to think, contrary to Rav Huna, that it's not allowed to kill a koton who is a roidef. The Gemara dismisses this question. Shiny Hossam, that case is different. The Mishmaya Koradfi law. It's something of, it seems to be heavenly ordained that this mother's life is being endangered. And since it's heavenly ordained, we are not going to intervene. The Gemara asks, well, Neimo Misayale, can we offer the following as support to Rav Huna? The source begins, Roidev Shoya Roidev Achar Chaveru Lahorgo. Someone is pursuing someone else with the intent of killing him. Omer Lo, we say to the pursuer, Re'e, she Yisrael Hu, Uben Brishu, don't you see? He is Jewish, and he is a member of our covenant. V'hatera Omra, Shofech Dam Ho'odom Bo'odom, Domo Yishofech, that one who spills the blood of another person, so his own blood is to be spilled, namely, a murderer is executed by Torah rule. Omra Torah, Hatzel Domo Shelzeh, B'Domo Shelzeh. The Torah is instructing us to save the life of the victim through the blood of the pursuer. The main point here is brought out by the Rashi. In this source that we just read, even though it sounds like a warning is issued, the truth is that we don't see the pursuer being mekabel, accepting the warning. In other words, the halacha, the laws that concerning official issuing of warning, state that when the warning is mentioned, the pursuer, or whoever it is, if it's a case of Shabbos, the one who's being warned not to violate Shabbos, has to accept the hasra. Only then do we say that the hasra, that the warning is considered an official warning. In this case, we don't see the hasra being accepted. So we can say in simple terms that the rodef does not require hasra. If that be the case, then we would have support for Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that a katan who is pursuing, he can be killed. And we concluded that that's a function of the general principle that a rodef eino tzarech hasra, general principle as stated by Rav Huna. So we would have a support to his claim from this source, being that in this source we don't see the warning being accepted by the pursuer. The Gemara says from here there is no proof. We can't bring an across-the-board basis or proof for Rav Huna from here. Hahi Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda hi. This source is the opinion of a singular opinion, as opposed to a majority opinion, that says, Desanya Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda Omer, Chover Ein Tzara Hasra, that a learned person does not need a warning before his commission of an offense. The whole purpose of hasra is in order to make sure that the person involved is not doing it unwittingly. What do we see though from Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, that even in the case of court executions, there isn't a basic need for hasra. The whole point of hasra, according to him, is to make sure that the person doing it is not doing it under mistaken circumstances. However, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, being that its whole goal is to make a distinction between shogeg and mazid, there is no need for acceptance of hasra, even in the case of a person who is ignorant. Therefore, the source we saw before that indicated some form of warning is given, but there's no need for acceptance of hasra, that is according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. But in general, other opinions would not necessarily agree with that. Toshma, notice we have the house form flipped over, pointing downwards. This will represent a kasha on Rav Huna. The source says, Roidev Shoya Roidev Achar Chaver Lohargo. Someone is pursuing someone else with the intent of killing him. Omar Lo, Re'e, She Yisrael Hu. If it's said to him, to the pursuer, notice, this is a Jew. Uben Brishu, he is a member of our covenant. Vatur Omra, and the Torah says, Shofech Dam Adam Ba'adam Damo Yishofech. If one kills someone else, then he himself will be subject to a death penalty. Im Omar Yodeani Shuhu Kane Potter. If the pursuer says, I know that that's the case, he is exempt. He will not be subject to a court death penalty. This is so as long as he does not say that I'm doing it anyway. However, if he says, Almanas Kane Aniose, I'm doing it with the full awareness that I will myself be subject to a death penalty, then Chayov. Rashi says, about five lines from the end of the page, in the middle, Potter. As long as he does not say, I'm doing it with the intent that I myself will be killed over this, as is learned in the Perek before, in Andaf Mem Aleph, Yumas Hames, the Torah says, Yumas Hames, Achi Yatir Atzmo Lemisa, that there's no, it's not considered a warning until he allows himself to be killed. Kotoni hocho gabi roidef de boy hasro. Vimlav ein matzilin oisoi benafsho. That's what this source is telling us, that a roidef as well needs a hasra. Otherwise, we would not be able to kill him. This would be a kasha on Rav Huna. More a response, lo tzricha. This source is talking about a case where the bystander is in no position to actually kill the rodef himself. Dekoi betray ibra dinara. They are on two opposite sides of a river, the lomotzi atzule, where the bystander is not in the position to stop the rodef and save the victim. My ika, what is left to be done? The boy su the bedina. The only thing that's left to be done would be to drag this rodef to a court of law. Well, bedina boy hasra. In order for the court procedure to continue, they need to have hasra. In other words, court procedure cannot be activated without a hasra. But this does not apply to a general bystander. Iboy Seima, another approach. Omar Loch, Rav Huna. Rav Huna, who said what he said above, that a rodef does not need hasra, he says, Ano di amri ketana de machteres. My basis is the Tana that was featured above, and we call him the Tana of Machteres, but you can, with arrows, you can find where this is coming from. And what did the Tana de Machteres say? De Omar, Machtaroso zuhi hasra also. That the mere fact that he is exerting himself to break in, that serves as his warning, so to speak, and no further warning is needed. And the Baba Machteres was a type of rodef, hence any rodef would not require hasra. That is as far as Rav Huna's halacha is concerned, and he has his basis in that earlier Tanaic source. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.